We're in John 17 once again, and it's good to be with you as we're going to look at the seven glories of Christ today found in John 17 in his high priestly prayer. Let's look first to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come into your presence and we marvel at thy word spoken in thy word, Father. It's been recorded to us and for us. And Father, we think of the words of your beloved Son as he spoke to you, and yet it's been recorded for our benefit and for our learning here in John 17. We ask that you would be with us, help us to understand what you have for us today, we pray, by thy Spirit and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. John 17, as we looked at it the last time we were together in an introductory manner, we now would like to get into the chapter and look at how there are seven glories, speaking of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how they all point to him and give him honor and glory and speak of his person and his position. Again, I remind you of how Paul spoke later on in the church age, recorded after the Lord had died, buried, rose again, ascended to heaven. Paul speaking and writing to the Galatians, he said, God forbid that I should boast save in the cross of Christ. God forbid that I should boast. The word there for glory, that I should glory save in the cross of Christ, except in the cross of Christ. The only way we should glory should be in Christ and his cross. So now, let's look at seven glories of Christ that are mentioned in this chapter of John 17, found here immediately after the teaching section of the Upper Room Ministry. As we see, we would include John 17 with the chapters 13 to 16 and how he is speaking to his disciples. Yet here we see him literally speaking to the Father in prayer. It's amazing. One remarkable thing is that the different subjects in the teaching of the Upper Room Ministry comes out in his prayer found right after those teachings in John 13 to 16. Perhaps we'll note those at a later point. But now let's see today, beginning in verse 1, the first glory mentioned of Christ. In verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Here we see the glory of his cross. He's speaking of the hour is come. This is speaking of the time upon the cross. Not necessarily just 1 hour, but it's the word therefore, the time. The time has come. And as we look back in the Gospel of John, it's a very interesting outline, starting in chapter 2, when he was speaking there with his mother in his presence, and she came to him at a marriage feast and spoke of how they needed a wine to drink, and he said, mine hour has not yet come. He was referring future to the cross of Calvary, that his hour had not yet come. That is the central point and theme of why he was here. And it would be recorded on through the book of John. Mine hour has not yet come. And then he would be drawing all the closer to the cross. And then, as we see now in chapter 17, he would say, the hour is come. And as he speaks to the Father, he says, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. He's speaking of the cross. This is the glory of his cross. The hour is come. You know, this is a wonderful reminder of the purpose of Christ coming to the world. The central point of mankind's history is the cross of Christ. Now we could look also at the second glory mentioned down in verse 3. Here we see the glory of his life. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Notice in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have glorified thee on the earth. This is speaking of the glory of his life. For we see here that he was always the perfect Son of God, that he honored the Father and glorified the Father in all aspects, whether it was in his pre-incarnate position, whether it was once he came to this earth, born of a virgin, and become man, manifest God, manifest in the flesh, whether it was as a child, whether it was there found in the temple at 10 years old, whether it was there in his public ministry, whether it was in the miracles, whether it was in his teaching, all through his life and even before, he has always glorified the Father. But here we emphasize his life. From his birth on through, during his life, he glorified the Father. As he says here, Father, I have glorified thee. Verse 4, let's read it. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. This is the glory of his life. The only one that could ever say that he fully has glorified the Father at all times. Yes, certainly no one has ever been able to or ever will be able to say that they have always glorified the Father. Do you know a child, a son or a daughter that has ever been able to say, I have always pleased my parents? Now, there are some parents that, out of their love for their children, perhaps they had good, well-behaved children, may even say, yes, they've always been a joy to me. But to have perfectly, sinlessly, in every aspect, to fully glorify their parents, we can only say here in a reverent way that here, not as a parent, but yet is the eternal Son of God, Christ has always glorified the Father. Now the third glory, we see the glory of his ascension. Drop down to verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Here we see in verse 5 two aspects of his glory. Verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. Here we see the glory of his ascension. As we see here, he is now saying, glorify me with thine own self. He's anticipating returning to his Father, returning unto the place of glory. You know, the scripture refers to Christ as the Lord of glory. Scripture also tells us over in Philippians chapter 2 of how this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, was willing to leave the glory and to come to this earth and take that humble position as a man, as a servant. The scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ was willing to leave glory, to come here, as the scripture has recorded, to take upon the form of a servant, to be made in the likeness of men, And as he was being found in fashion as a man, it goes on to say, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But it doesn't stop there. It speaks of how he would return to glory. Wherefore, in verse 9 of Philippians 2, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here, we see, in connection with the future, that yes, now that Christ has been exalted back to glory, there is a coming day when every knee shall bow. So when we go back to John 17, we think of how that third glory is in connection with the glory of his ascension. He was anticipating his return back to the place of glory. I think of the passage over there in Hebrews 12 where it says, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we see here, for the joy that was set before him, his joy, the anticipation of delivering us from our sins, and the anticipation of returning to glory. So we see in John 17, the glory of his ascension. Fourthly, we see the glory of his eternal existence. Also in chapter 5, I should mention, this and the last one were in verse 5 of John 17. Verse 5 continues on. He speaks of glorifying him with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So here we see the glory of his eternal existence. As he goes back to be with the Father, he points out that it's with the glory that he had with him before the world was. This is the eternal existence mentioned here, the glory of his eternal existence. Praise be to God that the one who came to pay for your sin and mine, the one who ever liveth to make intercession for us today, is the one that is the eternal Son of God, the eternal Lord of glory. So now let's move on and look at verse 10, and we see here the fifth glory. We're beginning now to get into the glories that are connected with his people. The first four glories seem to be more connected with Christ himself and his work. Here is tied in with his people. Verse 10, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. He's glorified in us, in his people. We that have been saved, been justified by faith, we are the ones he speaks of here, that I am glorified in them, in his people. Here is one of the glories of Christ. Closely related, we see in verse 22, the sixth glory, the glory of his representatives. That's us. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Here, we are representatives. We are to be one. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we represent Christ. The glory which thou gavest me I have given them. Isn't that wonderful? That the Spirit of God indwells each child of God, each one born again, and we are ambassadors for Christ, representatives for Christ. We represent this one that is called the Lord of glory. And then finally, let's look at verse 24 of the seventh glory mentioned. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. Here we see the scripture speaking of how that we may behold his glory. Now, let's look at what this means and make an application as well. There is a coming time in the future that we will literally behold His glory by being in His very presence. When we have our glorified bodies and we're able to see Him as He is, Scripture tells us in 1 John, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We will not be deity, but yet we will be there and have perfected, glorified, sinless bodies. And we will be in His presence and gladly bow the knee to Him as our Lord. But yet, for us to behold His glory can also be applied to even now. Consider with me of how we as His children, the Scripture says, where two or three are gathered together in My name, Christ said, there I am in the midst. We can behold His glory as a called out company of His believers even today. That's wonderful, isn't it? We've looked at the seven glories of Christ today. Thank you for being with us once again. This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. Join us each Sunday morning at 10:15 as we share with you the Word of God. Have a good week.